plans and procedures. I'd just been hired to work on the disaster recovery team at the agency's computer center a few months before, a technical writer. I still taught writing at the community college, but the slave wages of an adjunct professor weren't enough to make ends meet. Ellen had a salary, too, of course, but a mortgage and two kids in private school ate up a lot of income. Mostly it was fires, tornadoes, blizzards, the power grid going haywire, but we developed plans and procedures for civil unrest and earthquakes, too, even though we were located on the East Coast. Mainly we were all about protecting the computer data. Saving human lives, only a secondary consideration. TV monitors were suspended on brackets above the elevator doors like the television sets in a sports bar. Ours were tuned to CNN and Fox News, the sound turned off, scrolls crawling across the bottom of the screen. As I waited on the second floor for an elevator to 5, I watched the airplane fly into the World Trade Center tower. It wasn't live, but it wasn't clear how long ago it had happened. Was it even real? This couldn't be real, could it? Oh, my God! The department secretary, Jenny, stood next to me, her hand over her mouth, comprehension dawning on her. My boss, Manny, wasn't exactly sure what to do. We were hundreds of miles from New York, over an hour away from D.C. Still, this was a disaster, right? In the end, the agency sent us all home, and Manny told us all to check our cell phones and beepers in case we were needed for some vague emergency response procedure. "I've got to tell her. I love her," Josh muttered as we made our way out to the parking lot. Josh was also on the disaster recovery team. He was talking to himself, but he wanted me to hear. "Who?" I asked. "Who do you have to tell?" "Jenny. A thing like this?" He waved his arm in a distracted gesture. "It makes you realize how short life is, what's important." "Don't do it, Josh," I cautioned. "You're married. You have kids. Jenny's sweet, but..." "I've got to do it," Josh said, determined. "I have to." He got into his car. I thought of drunks in late-night bars making phone calls. At the school, the doors were locked, and I had to ring the buzzer to get in to get my kids. The security guard knew who I was, but he still wanted to see my ID. I felt silly pulling out my driver's license. Was this really necessary? At home, Ellen had just arrived from her job. She'd likewise been sent home. We hugged each other, clinging like survivors, and Ellen fussed over Bobby and Sarah. We both felt this absurd need to shield them from some monstrous reality, and I remembered being in elementary school the day JFK was assassinated. But what could we do, I wondered. Plans and procedures. That evening, I still had my composition class at the community college. I thought classes might be canceled, but nobody called to tell me one way or the other. The radio was full of the disaster, the mounting numbers of the dead, the president's response, world reaction. The parking lot at the college was nearly empty, but there were lights on in the humanities building. I went to my classroom and switched on the lights. Students trickled in. The attack was the first thing anybody mentioned coming in. "What's the big deal?" Alex Booth demanded from his seat in the back row, a hulk of a boy with a baseball cap on backwards. Everybody else was somber. "How could we go on with grammar quizzes at a time like this?" "It's a very big deal, Alex," I said, but I opened the textbook anyway and turned to the lesson. Just then, my cell phone started to shrill like a cricket. I wasn't used to having a cell phone. It was still a new technology and felt official, like a gun or a badge. Soon we'd be arming our kids with them as a way of making us all feel more secure. I fumbled with the phone, thinking it might be Manny with some wild scheme, but it was Josh. "I did it," he blurted breathlessly. "I called Jenny." It sounded as if he'd been holding his breath all this time. "And?" "She told me I needed to calm down. She told me she liked me too, but not the same way. But at least I did it, Mel. At least I called her." "Okay, well, I'm in my class, so I'd better get back to work," I said, and we rang off. I picked up the textbook and looked at the page as if it were all hieroglyphics, a puzzle. "All right," I began, "which is more correct? I feel bad or I feel badly. Anyone?" Things were going to be different from now on, I reflected. Somebody was going to be punished. There'd probably be a war, maybe years and years of war. I looked at Alex slumped over his textbook at the back of the room. Yes, this was a very big deal.